Welcome back to Security for Legal SaaS. I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan. Episode 17, Password Hashing Done Right. Alice, let me start with something I've heard developers say in interviews. Don't worry, our passwords are encrypted. Why does that make you wince?
Because encryption is the wrong word and the wrong mechanism. Encryption is reversible. You encrypt data so you can decrypt it later. If your passwords are encrypted, that means somewhere in your infrastructure there's a decryption key. Anyone who obtains that key, a disgruntled admin, an attacker who compromises your key management, a misconfigured backup, can decrypt every password in your database in one operation.
So what's the correct approach?
Hashing. A hash function is a one-way mathematical transformation. You put the password in, you get a fixed length output, the hash, and there is no mathematical way to reverse it back to the original password. When a user logs in, you hash what they typed and compare it to the stored hash. You never need to recover the original password. You never should be able to.
Right, but not all hash functions are equal. LinkedIn learned that the hard way.
LinkedIn stored 117 million passwords hashed with unsalted SHA-1. SHA-1 is a general-purpose hash function designed to be fast. That's exactly what you don't want for password hashing. Fast means an attacker with a GPU, a graphics processing unit, the same chip used for gaming, which can run thousands of calculations in parallel, can compute billions of SHA-1 hashes per second. Within days of that breach, the majority of those passwords were cracked using dictionary attacks and rainbow tables.
What's a rainbow table?
A pre-computed lookup table. If I hash password 123 with SHA-1, I always get the same output. An attacker can compute hashes for millions of common passwords in advance, then just look up each hash in your breach database against their table. Instant match, instant crack. This is what SALTs defeat.
Explain SALTs.
A SALT is a random value, at least 16 bytes. That's unique to each user and generated fresh every time a password is set. You prepend it to the password before hashing. So, password 123 with SALT A7F3B2 produces a completely different hash than password 123 with SALT 9C4E1D. Rainbow tables become useless because the attacker would need a separate table for every possible SALT value. That's computationally impossible.
Right. Got it. So what algorithms should we actually be using?
The current recommendation from OWASP, the Open Web Application Security Project, the industry's go-to source for web security standards, is Argon 2ID. It won the password hashing competition in 2015, selected by a panel of cryptographers from 24 submissions. Its key innovation is memory hardness. Each hash computation requires a configurable amount of RAM. GPUs have thousands of cores, but limited per-core memory. If each hash computation requires 19 megabytes of RAM, you can't parallelize thousands of them on a GPU like you can with SHA-1 or even Bcrypt.
What about Bcrypt? I see it everywhere.
Bcrypt is still acceptable. It's been the industry workhorse since 1999. It introduced adaptive cost factors. You set a cost of 10, that's 2 to the 10 iterations. Cost 12 is 4 times slower than cost 10. You calibrate it so one hash takes about 200 to 500 milliseconds on your production hardware. That's imperceptible to a user logging in, but devastates an attacker trying billions of combinations. The limitation is that Bcrypt truncates passwords at 72 bytes and can't leverage large amounts of memory.
And Script?
Script was the first memory hard password hash, designed in 2009 by Colin Percival for his Tarsnap backup service. Still solid, still a valid choice. Argon2Lite is preferred because it combines memory hardness with better resistance to both GPU attacks and side-channel attacks, timing leaks that could reveal information about the hash computation.
Let's talk about timing attacks. That's an interesting one.
When you compare the user's submitted hash against the stored hash, a naive equality check, using double equals in most languages, short circuits. It returns false as soon as it finds the first differing byte. an attacker can measure response times. If the first byte matches but the second doesn't, the response takes slightly longer than if the first byte was already wrong. Over thousands of requests, they can statistically determine the hash byte by byte.
That sounds impractical, but I'm guessing it's been demonstrated.
Repeatedly. The defense is constant time comparison, a function that always examines every byte regardless of where the mismatch occurs. Python has akum ka die dejek. Node has crypto tel safe equal. Every major language provides one. Use it for all credential verification. Never write your own string comparison for security-sensitive values.
Now, password policies. I grew up with must contain uppercase, lowercase, number, and special character. NIST says that's wrong now?
NIST, the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, which sets widely adopted security benchmarks, their special publication 800-60B, published in 2017 and updated since, explicitly deprecated composition rules and forced rotation. Composition rules produce predictable patterns. When you require a capital letter, people capitalize the first character. When you require a number, they append one. When you require a symbol, they use an exclamation mark. Attackers know these patterns. Password 1 satisfies every composition rule and falls in seconds.
So what does NIST recommend instead?
Length. Minimum 8 characters. They recommend 15 or more. No maximum below 128. No composition rules. No forced rotation unless there's evidence of compromise. Allow paste, because that's how password managers work. And password managers are the single most effective credential hygiene tool. And critically, check every password at registration against known compromised password lists.
Right. Like, have you been pwned?
Choi Hunt's Pwn Passwords API contains over 900 million compromised passwords. The API uses a technique called K-anonymity, a privacy method where you only reveal partial information, so the server never learns the full value. You send only the first 5 characters of the SHA-1 hash of the password. The API returns all matching suffixes. You check locally. The full password never leaves your server, and Choi Hunt never learns what password you're checking. NIST 800-63B requires this check. If a user picks a password that's appeared in previous breaches, reject it with a clear explanation and suggest they use a password manager.
For legal SaaS specifically, why does this matter more than average?
Lawyers reuse passwords. They manage dozens of systems. Court filing portals, client management platforms, bar association accounts, your platform. A credential stuffing attack takes passwords leaked from one breach and tries them against your login. If a lawyer used the same password on your platform as they did on a breach service, the attacker walks right in. Rate limiting, device fingerprinting, CAPTCHA, those challenge response tests that ask you to click traffic lights or type distorted letters to prove you're human, after failed attempts, all necessary. But checking against compromised passwords at registration prevents the problem at the source.
One last thing, work factor calibration. How do you keep up with hardware improvements?
Annually, benchmark your hashing parameters on your authentication servers. Target 200 to 500 milliseconds per hash. When you increase the work factor, you don't need to force password resets. On the next successful login, verify against the old hash, then silently rehash with the new parameters and store the upgraded hash. The user never notices. Your security improves continuously. The Dropbox breach proved this works. 68 million bcrypt hashes were exposed, but bcrypt's cost factor made mass cracking economically impractical.
Next episode, JWT anatomy and pitfalls. Spoiler, the NUN algorithm is exactly as terrifying as it sounds.
Until then, I'm Alice.
And I'm Dan.
Security for Legal SaaS is a series written with AI assistance. Alice and Dan are AI-generated voices. No professional advice here, just education.